Great singing, everyone. Well, if you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to join me in the book of Galatians. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 1 through 10 as our primary text. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. We're in the seventh week of our series focused upon the one another commands of the New Testament. Each one of these commands giving us a way to put love into action. They're what we're called to do and called to be as Christian people in this world. So far, we've covered love for one another, which was the foundation of them all. Forgive one another, bear with one another, comfort one another, serve one another, accept one another, and today, bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6, I'll begin reading now in verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Please pray with me. Lord God, we are so thankful as your people to be gathered together today. We're thankful for your invitation and for your presence here. And we're thankful as well for the people who we sit among. They are our family of believers here at Fletcher Hills Presbyterian Church. We thank you for the community that surrounds us. That as you call us to follow after you, you've never called us to do this on our own, but instead, you've placed us in a family of faith with others to support us and help us along the way. God, I pray in these next few minutes as we look into this text in Galatians that you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see, that you give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal, and that you would give us conviction that's strong so that we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's start with a little bit of context from this book of Galatians. Much, if not all, of Scripture speaks only of faith in the context of community. This is a lesson in itself for us in the world today. There really is a lone ranger mentality sometimes in this world. I want to do it by myself. I can show everyone I am self-sufficient, and it carries over into the life of faith. Sometimes we want to just do this on our own. We're too embarrassed to admit we need help. We just can't be bothered with other people needing our own help, and so we individualize a faith that was never meant to be individual, always meant to be exercised in community. And Galatians is no exception to this community focus. Paul covers in this book a variety of community topics. And as we enter into the text today in chapter 6, verse 1, Paul is discussing a brother or sister, in other words, a Christian in that faith community, who is caught in a sin. Now, right off the bat, we might think this is going to be a harsh treatment that Paul gives. Well, they're caught in sin, so we better rout that sin right out of them. But I want you to notice the tenderness in the way that Paul addresses this whole situation. Notice, first of all, that he talks about this brother or sister being overtaken by sin. So not something that they've leaned into themselves, not something that they've gone and sought after, but instead Paul acknowledges the power of temptation to overtake someone, in a sense showing that they're not being shamed or blamed for what's going on, but instead we're acknowledging the power of that temptation and the damage it can do in the life of a brother or sister in Christ. Secondly, we notice that we are to restore that person gently. The church isn't always known for its gentle treatment of its own people. In fact, the church is known for the opposite at times. But Paul, even as he's talking about finding someone who has fallen to temptation or been caught up in sin, is saying, restore them to the faith gently. And the word he uses in Greek is the same word that is used for when you set a broken bone. So a broken arm is placed in a cast, gently set back in place so that it can then heal and be restored. That's exactly what Paul was saying that we are to do for one another when we are caught in sin and we restore one another gently to the faith. There's something beautiful about this. And in the midst of all of this conversation, Paul begins talking about bearing each other's burdens, and that's what we're focusing on today. The word that he uses for burden is baros in Greek, and it means a heavy weight or stone. And the implication in the context here is that it must be carried a significant distance. So a heavy weight, just like Mandy was talking about a few minutes ago, something heavy, something that's very difficult to take on our own that needs to be carried a great distance. There are two kinds of burdens. We just talked about the first one in 6 verse 1, the burden of sin, the burden of temptation that can come along. But there's another kind of burden as well. It's something that simply lands in our lives. The death of a loved one. A terrible diagnosis. Financial destruction in our lives. Tragedy that takes place in a community or a nation. These large events that occur, that happen to us, at no fault of our own, that are so overwhelming, we have no idea how we are going to make it through. That's the sense of the weight of this kind of burden, the kind of event or the kind of outcome that entirely disorients us and makes us wonder how we can possibly go on. Now, I recognize as we sit in this sanctuary together today, some of you are feeling exhausted already, and you might be wondering to yourself, how can I possibly be of help to somebody else, to bear someone else's burden? I feel like some mornings I can hardly carry anything that I have going on in my own life, and I want you to relax if that's the way you feel this morning. Because remember, this is about community. This is not a solo call. It's not a solo command. God's not looking for superheroes who swoop in and save the day on behalf of everyone else. Instead, God is calling us as a community to be aware that there are those among us who are bearing burdens, even right now, things that are overwhelming and disorienting, and they feel like they're too much. Now, bearing another's burdens will require resources. It requires time. It requires finances at times. It requires tremendous energy, and it's really not a question of whether or not these resources will be required, but rather how much. Paul knew this, yet he still commanded that we do this as a church community, that we bear one another's burdens. We need to be careful when we consider how we might go about doing this in the community, because sometimes we can err on either side of the balance that we're actually being called to. On the one hand, we can risk bearing too little of the burdens around us, in a sense being unmoved by what's happening to those around us. And that might be because we're not tuning in or really noticing the weight that people are under. It might be because we're feeling too overwhelmed with what we're under, and so we think, well, I just can't even afford to try and help that person near me. But on the other end of the extreme, we can also choose to bear too much, become, in a sense, almost addicted to trying to help somebody else, carrying things that they don't even want us to carry at times. We can err on either extreme and miss the beauty of what Paul is calling us to here when it comes to bearing each other's burdens. I believe we're offered some clue as to how to keep a balance in this and what Paul states for us in verse 5. In verse 5, Paul talks about carrying your own load. Take a look at verse 5. Where each of you should carry your own load. Now, at first glance, it sounds a little contradictory, right? The beginning of this chapter, Paul's saying, bear each other's burdens. But then just a couple verses later, he says, you carry your own stuff. You carry your own load in the middle of this. We have to try and sort out what exactly is different about those two commands. And the main thing is there is a different word used. The word for load in verse 5 is phortion. It's a different Greek word that can be defined as a task or service to be done. It can also be defined as a knapsack or a backpack. And the idea there is that this particular load is proportional to the person. It's not that overwhelming burden that you can't possibly carry on your own. Instead, it's the regular responsibilities of our lives, of our physical lives, of our emotional lives, of our spiritual lives. And Paul's helping us to see that every single one of us has a set of responsibilities that we are meant to, if you want to picture it, put in our knapsack and carry around with us as we go about in life. We're not supposed to be walking around looking for someone else to carry the knapsack. We carry the knapsack, but then the burdens are something altogether different, something overwhelming, so that we have the capacity to help out with other people's burdens because we're not so full of everyone else's knapsacks when it comes time to come to the rescue of those who are really experiencing a challenge. Verse 5 helps us with the boundaries a faith community can follow when we're serious about living out this biblical ideal. I mean, what do we do when someone is constantly in crisis? Verse 5 reminds us and them of their load. We've all encountered people who are like this. They're handing off that knapsack at every turn. They have too much going on, and so they want people to kind of enable them and work with them all the way through life. This helps remind us and them of their own personal responsibility. And they might need some support and help along the way to regain that normal load that they're supposed to be carrying. But we don't want to prolong things and live in a state where we're caring too much for the people around us of ordinary, everyday responsibilities. But what do we do when we have no time or ability to bear another person's burdens? I think it calls us then to inspect our own load, our own knapsack that we're carrying around. Sometimes we pick up extra things that don't belong to us, or things that are holding us back and preventing us from being the people God's called us to be in our relationships, within our faith community. And this passage is a wonderful chance to pause and take inventory of all that we are carrying around in our lives. Do I need all of this? Do I want all of this? Does Jesus want me to be carrying all of this? Is what I'm carrying sidelining me from being available and ready to help others when true burdens enter into their lives? The goal in all of this is that every one of us is able to carry our own load so that we're also free to bear those immense burdens when they come along. So what's Jesus think about all of this? Is this just Paul's idea, or does Jesus also have a similar perspective on this? If we turn to Matthew 11, 28, and I'll read it for you, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest." We love this. This is Jesus taking all of our burdens and struggles away, and he's talking there about a true burden. So we have the community that becomes the hands and feet of Christ caring for us, but really caring for us in Jesus' name. And that's what we saw in that video just a few minutes ago, a community surrounding someone obviously overwhelmed with the burden in their life, and we become Jesus to those people when we surround them and help them in that way. And we learn this because of the way Jesus has also taken our burdens from us. But then look at verses 29 and 30. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus seems almost to mirror what Paul talks about in Galatians, because he talks about taking on this burden from us, but then he also says, "Take on my yoke, for my burden is light." And interestingly, the word he uses for burden in that second portion is the same word that Paul used in his second portion, fortion. He's talking about that knapsack, those regular responsibilities, in this case, the responsibility of following after Jesus. The simple things he asks us to do day to day that reflect our faith and devotion in the way that we serve him and we serve other people in this world. Jesus expects us to carry along that particular load even as we do life together in the community of faith. When we look back at verse 2 of Galatians, we see that by doing all of this, Paul says we fulfill the law of Christ. He's talking there about the ministry of Jesus. Every one of us having encountered Jesus and his love, having felt him take on the burden of our sins, releasing us from the responsibility and payment of them, so that we are then free to take on his yoke and live as his disciples in this world. It's a beautiful cycle. And after we have received that from Jesus, we are called to do the same for one another within the community of faith. There's no higher calling, nothing better in this world Because by bearing each other's burdens, we show Jesus' love to one another and to anyone who is watching us. What a privilege to be able to do this in the community. It's so easy to let church and to let Sunday worship become just a time where we sing together and where we learn a few things about the scriptures, and to miss the fact that we are sitting among a community of people who are seeking after Jesus the same way we are. And it's so easy, even in a small congregation like ours, to be so private and personal, to bear all of our own burdens by ourselves. The cycle is very predictable. At times, a member of our congregation will simply disappear for a time, and we won't quite know where they are, and we finally start reaching out, is everything okay? And we find out something immense has happened in their life, and they haven't known quite what to do with it, and so they've just withdrawn. They've cocooned as they try and make their way through it, and yet what we are being called to, what we're being invited into, is staying in the community. And whether it's in our trios, or whether it's after worship, pulling someone aside to share with them, whether it's going to our prayer team and mentioning what that burden is, we are called instead toward one another so that we can be Jesus to one another as we support each other in this time. Let's be that community together. Let's not withdraw when times get difficult, but let's lean in and let's receive from one another the beauty of this fulfilling of the law of Christ that every one of us has been made for. Amen? All right, let me pray for us. Jesus, we're overwhelmed at what you've done for us. And for some of us, that Matthew passage is much easier to relate to than the Galatians passage, because we do see you as the one who has unburdened us, the one who has the power to do it, the one who's called us then to follow after you in that new state of lightness that grace brings. But we can't miss that Galatians calls us and helps us to take that, what you've done to transform us, and to bring it to life in our community together. To not be individuals who gather together one time a week and then scatter to the winds, but instead to be a true community of faith, invested in each other's lives, aware of each other's lives, not afraid to share the burdens that we've encountered, not afraid to ask for help. Help each of us to take inventory of our lives, to see if what we're carrying around in each new day is all required. Because if our lives are too full and we've taken on too much, we might not be available as we need to be to the people around us in the midst of their crises when the burdens land in their lives. Help us to take the risk of being transparent with one another, truly leaning into the community that you've made for us right here at Fletcher Hills, so that each of us may carry our own load faithfully, beautifully, but that we also may surround each other and bear all of the burdens that might come our way. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.